Those sounds, ladies and gentlemen, were a simulation of the letter S in Morse code, which were the first sounds to be transmitted across the Atlantic Ocean by wireless telegraphy by the late Senator Guglielmo Marconi. This event took place in 1901, and tonight WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System brings you this program as a tribute to the memory of the great Italian inventor and scientist, whose death this morning is an irreparable loss to the entire world. On this memorial program, we are to have the privilege of hearing from a number of gentlemen prominent in the wireless and radio communications fields, fields that have brought to their present high development by Senatore Marconi. These speakers will be introduced to you during a chronological narration by Charles Benford, a new radio commentator to the Mutual Network. We now present Mr. Benford.
The story of wireless contains some very interesting and dramatic episodes. The history of mass communication by sound, of which radio is the latest development, goes back to prehistoric times, to the days of signal drums in ancient Africa, the town crier of our Western civilization, the firing of signal guns and so forth. And coming down through the years, there were discoveries in the nature of electromagnetic radiation and the sending of electromagnetic energy through space, and many more discoveries, too numerous to mention at this time. But nevertheless, Senatore Guglielmo Marconi is regarded as the father of radio. A young man in his early 20s, in the year of 1896, after experimenting on his father's estate in Italy, he went to London and convinced British scientists that he actually could send a message through space. And finally, in 1901, Marconi succeeded in spanning the Atlantic by wireless. It was on December the 12th of that year that he at Newfoundland intercepted the first transatlantic signal, the letter S, transmitted from England. And then, continuing with his experiments, on December the 17th, 1902, Marconi transmitted the first west-east transatlantic wireless message from Glace Bay to England. On February the 3rd, 1908, the Marconi transatlantic wireless stations were opened to the public for transmission and reception of Marconi grams between England and Canada. Thus far, chiefly commercial in aspect, but now, for the real true value of Marconi's great discovery. On January the 23rd, 1909, the steamship Republic collided with the steamship Florida off New York Harbor, and Jack Bims, wireless operator on the steamship Republic, flashed CQD, now the well-known SOS, and this signal summoned rescuers, which proved the value of Marconi's discovery in time of disaster at sea. And now the voice of Jack Bims.
No greater honor can be bestowed upon any man than the quality of the achievements he bequeathed to posterity. Marconi is dead, but his work will live forever. His youthful genius brought out of the unknown the very means which now brings you these deserved tributes to his memory. How much better is the world because Marconi lived in it? His discovery, the result of many years of patient, dogged effort, has brought a greater measure of safety to humankind. It has eliminated the old perils of the sea and made the air a reasonably safe medium of transportation. It has brought to millions of people a source of education and entertainment that will profoundly change the social structure of the world. It is the basis upon which television, the newest marvel of science, will soon enable us to see the things that are now unseeable. Marconi will go through the ages as the inventor of radio. His place in history is secure, and deservedly so. There were many brilliant men during the 90s of the last century working just as devotedly as Marconi to find a means for communicating intelligence through space without connecting wires. None were successful before Marconi. One of them, a noted British engineer, Sir William Preece, later said, "We all knew the egg, but Marconi showed us how to stand it on end." It is such men as Marconi who create the foundations upon which the more solid and enduring progress of mankind is based. Marconi was doubly gifted. He had the ability to dream dreams and then forge realities out of their tenuous stuff. His organizing ability was directly responsible for the rapid development and practical application of his great discovery. Those of us who had the privilege of working with and for him deeply mourning his passing, but in our hearts we are proud that we had a part in adapting his work to the service of society.
In 1910, the United States approved an act requiring certain passenger ships to carry wireless equipment and operators. In 1911, the Department of Commerce organized a radio division to enforce the Wireless Act of 1910. On April the 14th, 1912, the Titanic disaster also proved the value of wireless at sea. Jack Phillips and Harold Bride were the wireless operators. And to commemorate their work and their lives, a monument was erected in Battery Park, New York, by popular contribution, the maintenance of which is provided for by the Veteran Wireless Operators Association. And now a word from the president of this international association, Mr. William J. McConnachal.
6 years ago, on December 12, 1931, the president of the Veteran Wireless Operators Association spoke over this station in conjunction with the worldwide broadcast commemorating the 30th anniversary of the conquest of the Atlantic by wireless communication. We were then privileged to present Senatore Marconi with a special gold medal of our association. Tonight, I am here to inscribe his name on the perpetual roll of honor of our association and to pay our last respects to our late beloved member, Guglielmo Marconi, wireless veteran number one. Any tribute, however great, that we might pay at this time would be small by comparison with his accomplishments. From that first day in 1895, when Marconi achieved the first successful transmission of intelligence by wireless communication, he continued daily active, improving and perfecting the new communications medium. It must have been a source of profound satisfaction to him to have lived to witness the magnificent progress of his youthful hobby to one of humankind's most useful instrumentalities, radio today. Marconi the man is no more. His spirit and achievements will live on forever as a guiding star to posterity. Scholar, soldier, statesman, scientific genius, his name will be recorded in history with other immortals who, like him, devoted their lives to the interests of humankind. On behalf of the Veteran Wireless Operators Association, I extend deepest sympathies and condolences to the members of his family at the loss of a devoted husband and father, to our fellow men at the loss of a celebrated inventive genius.
In 1913, a safety at sea conference was held in London at which wireless was the main topic for consideration. In 1914, the California-Honolulu Wireless Service was opened by Marconi Wireless Telegraph of America. And so on down through the years, one development after another, in which field of rapid progression, Mr. Clarence Mackey, a distinguished citizen, chairman of the board of the Postal Telegraph and Cable Company and the Mackey Radio and Telegraph Company, played an important part. Mr. Mackey has been honored by the Vatican and other European countries. So it is with pleasure that we hear the voice of Mr. Mackey.
I am greatly shocked and grieved at the loss of Senator Marconi. This sad event deprives the world of one of its greatest contributors to present-day life and civilization, and we in the radio communications industry humbly bow in gratitude to his name. He was one of the great donors to the art of rapid communications. The telegraph means Morse, the telephone means Bell, and the radio means Marconi. They gave us our three great branches of service. They are our three greatest names, and they are immortal. And now Marconi is gone. I am extremely proud to have known Senator Marconi as a personal friend for many years. No man ever more richly deserved the homage of the world. He was a strong, lovable personality. As to his genius, like all others in radio, I refer to it humbly, and with the world I could only marvel in amazement at what he gave us. There is no need to dwell on Senator Marconi's colossal contribution. No one has to stir his imagination greatly to picture the many radio telephone and radio telegraph ties which obliterate the oceans and the vast expanses of land as factors of time and space insofar as communications among the people of the earth is concerned. I am sure that those of us in communications unitedly pledge at this sad time our best efforts to make the most throughout the future of the Marconi's amazing gift to the world, and by development, research, and alertness to the needs of increasing world progress, to see that radio is always the amazing servant of humanity which he has left with us today. We will carry on in his name.
And still we continue. There were numerous other developments, all resulting from the discovery of Marconi. Circuits of various kinds, shortwave transmission, radio, telephone, and etc. And then on November the 2nd, 1920, radio broadcasting began with station KDKA going on the air with a regular schedule of pre-announced programs. Marconi continued his experiments, and development continued at such a rapid pace that some central control was inevitable. And so on February the 23rd, 1926, President Calvin Coolidge signed the Dill-White Radio Bill that created the Federal Radio Commission and ended chaos caused by a wild growth of broadcasting. Dr. Orestes H. Caldwell was one of the first commissioners appointed to this commission. And now, I am pleased to introduce Dr. Caldwell.
Courage was a quality in Marconi's makeup no less important than his technical insight. Time and again in Marconi's career, he listened patiently to the theorists, letting them tell him what could not be done, and then Marconi went ahead and did it. He demonstrated this fearlessness of obstacles as a youth of 21 when he sent those wireless signals in his father's garden, and again he showed his faith in 1901 when he began his experiments to span the Atlantic. All of the scientists of that period were sure that wireless waves moved in straight lines like light, and so could not be sent across the curving expanse of the ocean. But Marconi persisted, and in 1901 the first faint signals crossed the Atlantic, held to their curving path, as we now know, by the reflecting layers of the upper atmosphere. In more recent years, just as self-satisfied wireless men were sure that the radio long waves had reached their limits, Marconi's own experiments pointed the way to the unknown and unbelievably rich domain of the ultra-short waves, the high-frequency channels. With far-seeing vision, he had cut through the narrow technicalities of the day and glimpsed the grander vistas that we now know lie beyond. To the great inventor of wireless, the word impossible did not seem to exist. Fortunately, his spirit and resourcefulness have been picked up by thousands of young radio men who are building a vast new industry of the present and the future. Today, whole regiments of youthful Marconis are carrying on the development of that new radio era which is just opening as Marconi, the master, passes from our midst.
So there we have a brief story of the developments, all based on the discovery of Guglielmo Marconi, whose voice you will now hear in an excerpt in a shortwave address recorded last March, his last radio speech.
Needless to say, I am rather satisfied with the thought that if, in spite of the great distance utterly separating us, you hear my voice as clearly and as distinctly as I think you should, I am personally responsible to a certain extent for this rather remarkable feat.
Yes, the voice that was, but now the voice to continue throughout the ages. Dots and dashes. Dots and dashes, the actual human speaking voice and music.
We now bring to a close this special program offered by WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System as a respectful tribute to the memory of this great man who only this morning passed away. The commentator was Charles Benford. The recording of Senatore Marconi's voice was by Audio Transcriptions. And the recordings of the voices of Mr. Binns and Mr. Mackey were by the WOR Recording Division. This is the Coast to Coast Network of the Mutual Broadcasting System.